It's time for the Bob Cerace Show, broadcasting live from the Alchemist and Barrister in Princeton on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Here's the voice of Princeton football, Cody Kruschel.
Here at the Alchemist and Barrister for the Week 8 edition of the Bob Cerace Show, gearing up for 7-0 Princeton against 7-0 Dartmouth, a top 20 showdown. The Tigers up to 14th in the FCS Coaches Poll. Dartmouth checking in at 20th this week. Kickoff Saturday at 1 o'clock at Princeton Stadium. First meeting between undefeated's Bob Cerace this late in an Ivy League season in 17 years. This is a big one.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, they've been impressive throughout their season. And we didn't have a chance to watch them. They weren't on any of our cut-ups in prior games. So early Sunday morning at about 6:30 a.m., the tape and video was as impressive, if not more, than the scores that they've had during the year.
Looking at this one, I know the Ivy League doesn't send teams to the postseason, and it's about winning the regular season. This is your opportunity to get that game up, and Dartmouth looking at it the same way. This is as close to a playoff game as you guys get.
Well, in the Ivy League, every game is, because if you lose week three or you lose week five or six, every single game matters, and it's what makes college football unique. And in a league without a playoff system where we're not allowed to go, it makes it even more important.
Talk a lot about Dartmouth as we go on during the next hour. Let's go back to Saturday against Cornell. You look at that box score. If I would have told you John Lovett completes 12 passes, Charlie Volker rushes for 30 yards, Stephen Carlson has one catch, probably wouldn't guess the score would be Princeton 66, Cornell nothing. But that was a game that really showcased the depth this team has and fact that you guys can win games in different ways.
Yeah, we worked on short fields with the four turnovers and the block punt in the first quarter. We were working on some short fields, and those guys didn't play in the second half, so it does negate some of their opportunities.
Tigers' largest margin of victory ever in an Ivy League game, and that's a league that officially dates back to 1956. Let's kind of go down the list here, and some guys that we haven't talked about a lot. First touchdown catch of Cody Smith's career. Kind of surprising that he's never caught one. It seems like he's good for a couple of big plays every game or every year.
Yeah, there's only one football, and it's trying to be spread around. But, you know, there's other guys that are getting a little more opportunities. But Cody, you know, he and Graham Adamitis are the glue of the team. You know, those guys are glue guys. They're the heart and soul of what we do. And it was nice to see both of them get rewarded finally.
At this point of the season, do you feel like you're going to reap the benefits of how fresh some of these guys are, being able to not have your starters on the field for the most part in the second half? Look at a guy like Charlie Volker, only 30 yards, but he found the end zone three times, 3 1-yard touchdown runs. He's only averaging 11 carries a year for a senior heading into week eight. Not exactly a lot of wear and tear.
Yeah, it's really both teams have not played a lot of football in the second half, other than our Harvard games, you know, and it was very similar for both of us, where we both got fourth quarter wins in that game. So it'll be very similar for both sides on that. And at the end of the day, when the score's, you know, what it was, we're going to get other guys in. And it was great to see those guys execute and play hard and succeed out there because they work hard.
You mentioned Harvard. If you're Harvard, you're sort of out of the championship hunt in the Ivy League, but you still have to feel pretty good about your last couple of weeks.
I don't know. A loss is a loss, whether it's 1 point or 66 points. I've never felt good about a loss, you know, to be honest with you, in terms of that. But they are a terrific team, and, you know, those games were relatively even games.
Talked about some of the guys we've seen in the second half. Poor Dominique Somerville, senior walk-on, second time this year he's had what would have been his first career touchdown called back. Never seen anyone smile quite like that, and if you're him, what else can you do?
Yeah, you know, when our sideline erupted, it wasn't out of lack of respect for Cornell. It's the respect we have for Dominique, a walk-on who works hard every day. He gets crushed every day in practice as a scout team running back, and you really want to reward him. And twice we've had the penalty errors, the holding errors, and weren't able to get him the touchdown.
We saw in the Brown game what Kevin Davidson can do, and then this past weekend, Zachary Keller and Cole Smith getting some extended action in the second half. And I know no John Lovett next year, out of eligibility, graduating this year. You have to like what you've seen out of the guys behind him.
Yeah, I'm not worried about next year. I'm worried about tomorrow's practice. But I love how those guys work. Coach, you know, Sean Gleason's here tonight, and he does a fabulous job with the culture in that room. They set the table for everything we do from a leadership and work ethic standpoint. And John's the ringleader, but those guys have unbelievable work ethics. You know, Kevin threw a touchdown pass. Zach and Cole both ran for touchdowns, and it was really great to see them have success because that room is a special room.
Talk about this offensive line a little bit. We've talked about the defense. We talk about the skills guys on offense, the skill guys on offense. Offensive line was an area where, at least externally, there were some question marks when you graduate Mitchell Swigert and Eric Ramirez, two multi-time All-Ivy League guys, and your left tackle and one of your guards. And this is a unit that hasn't really skipped a beat. You had guys who were second or third on the depth chart, and you plugged him in, and you went with some experience early on in the season, and it seems like it's really paid off.
Yeah, one of the great things when you're in a no-huddle offense is the number of offensive players that will play during a game. And we will commit. Certain games we'll play 10 offensive linemen in the first half against the ones, not score dictated. We will play 10 in our rotation going in. So those linemen, Andre Guest was getting 15, 20 snaps a game early in his career. So when he or Alex Dieters or Brent Holder, they got in the game, it's not like the first time they've touched the field. And they got in situations early in their careers on things they could be successful at, so they got some confidence. And those guys have all worked really hard to be successful. I'm really proud how that unit is playing together.
Other side of the football on defense, you guys pick off four passes in the first half. This past Saturday, two more for T.J. Floyd, second in the nation in interceptions, one for Trevor Forbes, one for Jeremiah Tyler. Starts with pressure up front, but you have to be really happy with the way the secondary has come together. A lot of sophomores, a lot of juniors, and then the senior starting safety, Ben Ellis. Kind of a good mix of different personalities and different years, and it's been working well.
Yeah, and the freshman Christian Brown has really stepped up and played well. I just like how that group's working. They have been so responsibility-oriented, and that's going to be, you know, we'll talk about it later, so key this weekend because the amount of motion and shifts and the stress that Dartmouth's offense puts on your eyes and responsibilities is critical. They are not only talented, they are well-schemed, and the secondary especially has got to be in their lanes so we're not giving up big plays when they do break out and get a good run.
Princeton and Dartmouth coming up this weekend, 7-0 against 7-0 here in Week 8 at Princeton Stadium. One other player I want to talk about defensively, Sam Wright. We saw him a little bit at the end of last year. We actually saw a lot of him up at Dartmouth last year. Three sacks the last 3 weeks, one on Saturday against Cornell. Really seeing what he can do as a pass rusher.
Yeah, well, not only Steve Urban, who was a phenomenal defensive line coach, but Kurt Haluba has sacrificed everything to work with our young D linemen. And you're seeing that progress. He shot out of a cannon on that pass rush move. That was unbelievable. And Sam's the best athlete we have on our defensive line. He broad jumps nearly 11 feet. He's a 4'6", 5'40". He can run. He is explosive. He's almost a 400-pound bencher. And you're starting to see those measurables turn onto productivity on the field. And Sam has worked so hard to get to that point. I'm really happy for him.
I think we saw that last year with John Lovett, who's sitting right over there. What does that say about a guy like Kurt Haluba? You suffer an injury early in your final college season, and it would be easy to just focus on what's going on in the classroom and remove yourself from everything on the field because you can't be out there. What does that say about him that he's still involved to that level?
Yeah, you just love the guys you get to coach here. And Kurt's a special guy. Not only is he one of the great defensive players I've ever been around and certainly one of the great defensive players we've ever had, but instead of moping and woe is me and life is not fair, all he's done is committed to being the leader. And it's really forced him to step up a level in terms of his leadership and personality because it's not easy when you're sitting on the sidelines and the world's against you and you feel sorry for yourself. Kurt goes out every day with this positive attitude, and I am so proud and lucky to be his coach.
Two guests tonight, one player, one then your offensive coordinator. Let's start with John Lovett. Something that we look for up in the broadcast booth when these games have gotten a little bit out of hand is, okay, this is the situation where obviously you take your starting quarterback out and then every week we look down and he's there and you're throwing your arms up. How convincing is his case to try to stay in the case of last Saturday when it's 45-0 at the half?
John loves football. He said it multiple times. He wants to play. If the game on a Saturday, if they told us we're going to play Monday, the next, he'd be there. He just loves playing and loves being out there. And, you know, I think when he walks away, he's got a smile, like, I didn't win that one. But he just wants to be out there, and he's worked so hard. And I think he almost relishes, you know, the Harvard game, that close game where you get to play four quarters. And certainly this one has the makings of being that type of game. So, you know, and against an even better defense. So he'll be fired up and ready to play his best. And he's going to have to, you know, for us to be successful.
The fact that the Ivy League season's only 10 games and you don't go to the postseason, does that affect how much you leave guys out there knowing that you're not playing 12, 13 games? There's not a bowl game. It's really a limited amount of time that they have to be out there as a Princeton Tiger.
No, I mean, I do the math in my head. When there's not enough drives left for a team to overtake us, that's when we start putting the subs in. And when I'm in my mind, the most they could get if we had three and outs or turnovers is seven more drives, and we're up by more than 49 points, that's when you start to, you know, do that.
Pretty good math to be doing on the football field. Let's talk about your offensive coordinator, Sean Gleason, someone who was on staff for 4 years before you promoted him to offensive coordinator last year. And Sean, a guy that you had some connections to before he joined you on the staff here in Princeton.
Yeah, well James Perry coached him at Williams and loves Sean. You can tell why. All the character and work ethic and intelligent traits that he has. And then, you know, he was able to work for 2 years for my brother at Fairleigh Dickinson as his offensive coordinator. And then, you know, we hired him here, and it's just been a blessing. He is a tremendous coach, tremendous person. He gets the most out of every day and what we're doing. I have such trust and faith that I've spent more time with defense and special teams this year than any time I've coached, because I have such trust and faith in what they're doing. And Sean leads a terrific staff there, and you know, on Mondays when I get to go up and see them put the plays, and I have very minimal input. Like, I just trust what they're doing. They've watched the film in way more detail than I have, and every week I'm just so pleased with the type of game plan they put in.
We'll talk to Tigers offensive coordinator Sean Gleason when we get back to the Alchemist and Barrister. This is the week 8 edition of the Bob Surrey Show on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
You're listening to the Bob Surrey Show with Princeton football head coach Bob Surrey's. Live from the Alchemist and Barrister on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
The Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host the Bob Surrey Show every Thursday night. Join us here every week for the latest on Princeton football and enjoy drink and food specials all night. Check out their menus at theanb.com. Cody Crucial back here for our second segment as the Princeton Tigers get set for a Week 8 undefeated showdown at home against the 7-0 Dartmouth Big Green. Joined now by Tigers offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach Sean Gleason. Sixth season at Princeton, second as the offensive coordinator.
Yep.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Excited to be on.
Big one this week. We'll talk a little bit about Dartmouth later on. Let's talk about the guy that was sitting to your right at the opposite table as you guys were enjoying some dinner. John Lovett. Has to be nice to have him back, and a guy that I imagine really opens up the playbook. There aren't a lot of teams in the country that have a quarterback that bring to the table what he does.
Yeah, Johnny's, I think beyond the schematic thing, the thing that I think the guys have noticed this year and really over John's entire tenure at Princeton has been just what a great kind of leader and emotional presence he is on our team. I kind of talk a lot about, you know, the spring where we had just won a championship. He and Chad had shared time through that 2016 season, and Chad departs, expected to then take a redshirt year for the next fall, and it's John's team. And whether it was a lift, whether it was a spring practice, whether it was a meeting, the kid came every single day trying to get the best out of himself, but more importantly, the best out of all of his teammates. And, you know, obviously last year he didn't play, but he came back this year with that same mentality, and he just gets so much out of all of our guys. But yeah, it's pretty fun to dial up a couple plays when a guy can run like that and throw the way that he does. So,
Coach Race talked about the impact Kurt Haluba's had on the defensive side of the football, even though he hasn't played since week one. Was John kind of like that last year as well? He wasn't dressed. He was out for the season. Still around, though. What kind of impact did he have, even though he never stepped on the field?
Yeah, well, I mean, very vividly, if you know our team and you know Coach Race's tenure here, last year we hit a bump in the road after we lost to Columbia at home. You know, some Ivy League aspirations had kind of, like, fell through our fingers at that point. And we were in a gut check week against Georgetown. And I'll never forget, came out for practice, and that was one of the first weeks that John was able to, after post-surgery, participate in practice and run around. And it was like the entire team was lifted by just how fast he was running around and his spirit out there. And he was great. I mean, the kid loves football. He comes to every single meeting with questions. I sometimes joke that he needs to stop asking too many questions. He's going to turn himself into a coach sooner or later. But, yeah, he's doing a great job. And I was proud of him last year. He really helped Chad have a great year, and now I'm very proud to see the way that he's performing for us this season.
Kind of an embarrassment of riches. You go from Chad Kanoff and John Lovett to Chad Kanoff to John Lovett. How does the offense evolve going from a quarterback who played like Chad Kanoff to John Lovett, two of the best to play in the Ivy League recently, but two very different quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think it really speaks to, like, the foundation that we've built here offensively and Coach Therese has built in the program. Is, you know, the nuts and bolts of what we do doesn't really change. You know, talking about spring football, we have 12 practices. We kind of install much of the same every single year. And then once we get to the fall and through in the beginning of training camp, we will have a direction that we think it might go. But it's really not fulfilled until we get into some of these games and start creating ideas in subsequent weeks. You know, okay, he did this good and he did this well in week two. What is he going to do in week three? What is he going to do in week four? And if you probably put a microscope to it, you would say it's much different. But John's, you know, we have a self-scout assessment that we do every single Thursday. And, you know, John's performing in some of the things that you'd expect Chad to kind of maybe at first glance superseding him, maybe some of the drop-back traditional stuff. John has really done a fantastic job in that part of our offense too. So I know that he'll run around and that at first glance is for people the big difference, but He operates the show in the nuts and bolts of what we do very, very well.
We'll ask John this later, but I'll ask you. One of the impressive things that we've talked about a lot, Craig Saxon and I up in the radio booth, has been when John misses, it's in a spot where it's either going to be Princeton making the play or it's going to be an incomplete pass. That's been really impressive.
Yes, yeah. And I think, too, when you run the way that he does, when things aren't open, there isn't, like, a fallback plan that is bad, like you're going to take a sack. If it doesn't look perfect to him, he might take off, and it's going to be a good play for the Tigers. So, yeah, I think he's very smart. He studies the game tremendously, and then obviously on game day, he makes us all look like his, you know, great coaches with how careful he is with the ball.
Last year it was pretty much Chad Kanoff, 300 yards, Jesper Horsted and or Steven Carlson, 100 yards. Mm-hmm. Running game was there when you needed it. This year you guys lead the nation in passing. You also lead the Ivy League in rushing.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we've had a good group of tailbacks and some running threats since I've been here. You know, I coached DeAndre Atwater. Joey Radding is a tremendous player. Some of those guys throughout the years, Will Powers or Dre Nelson. And then, you know, I didn't coach Quinn, but Quinn was a tremendous threat with his legs. The group of guys we have this year are dynamite. You know, Charlie Volker is having a great year, Colin Eady, Ryan Quigley, who has played as well, and then John to add it on top of it. Those guys are a threat. And as you see in the Columbia game, you see Colin go for like 60-plus yards. John's trailing behind him by like 5 feet, screaming down the field after him. But those guys are a threat to break one at any point. It's been great for us.
Talk about your journey to get here to Princeton, a New Jersey native, Trinity Pauling, and then Williams, a couple of other stops. Sort of take us through your journey. How'd you end up here at Princeton?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Race probably told some of the story. I'm at Del Barton School, which is a private school in northern New Jersey. I took it as my first job out of college. I'd been a Williams, Del Barton pipeline for a little while, and my dad is a high school teacher and coach, much like Coach Races, so it was kind of a natural fit for me. My family was in the area. I'm about 2 years in, and I got the college coaching bug, and I'm reaching out to everyone I know. Coach Perry and I, our previous offensive coordinator, have a fantastic relationship. He recruited me. He and I think very much the same about quarterback play and about a lot of things in life, but He gets a job at Princeton, and it's I said it once before, I think, in an interview. It's like it was graduate school for me. It was, you're thirsty for football. What are you going to do? Are you going to try to go to clinics? For me, it was, I'm going to go down to practice as many times as I can. There are many times I would get out of baseball practice coaching, drive down, miss like 95% of the practice, catch 15 minutes, but then go sit up in the room with the coaches and help with the film, volunteer wherever I could, and ask questions when it was appropriate. So it was great. I didn't obviously hook on with the Princeton staff until after I worked for Coach DeRace's brother at Fairleigh Dickinson, but those were two great years, and I'm glad to see those guys have kind of turned it around too, because I have great pride in the work that we did there while I was there, even though it didn't show up in wins. And then I found myself at Princeton working for Coach Perry and Coach DeRace, and like I said, being a New Jersey guy, it's very special.
Coach DeRace and his brother Brian, the head coach at Fairleigh Dickinson, you can kind of tell that they're related.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a very similar sideline demeanor, I'll leave it at that. But they're very fiery guys. That's who you love to play for and who you love to work for. And they're both great family men. They come from great stock. Their dad and their mom are great people. Share many a conversation with those folks. I couldn't be happier with where we're at right now.
James Perry, the offensive coordinator you took over for last year when he got the head coaching job at Bryant. Princeton led the Ivy League in offense under him. They've led the Ivy League in offense the first 2 years under you to this point. Mm-hmm. So from an output and numbers standpoint, not a lot has changed. And that was sort of the thing. Okay, is it going to be the same offense? Because Sean Gleason has worked with James Perry and has played for James Perry up at Williams. But you mentioned it last year. You're taking things from what James Perry did, but you're still yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's a better foundation that he could have laid here for, I mean, Andy Arick and I, the offensive line coach, Mike Willis was a player under Coach Perry, but Andy and I, you know, literally, if there's building blocks of an offense or how to deal with players, James gave us the greatest education that we could ever have. And we are hopefully carrying that torch forward, but much of what we're still doing, or even some of the new ideas that get brainstormed in our office, come from places and things that James would have said. And I'm sure, you know, like we do every year now that he's a head coach, we'll get together and he'll be asking us some of the things that we maybe have come up with that are new. But, there's not a day that I think that Andy and I talk that it doesn't somehow bring it back to maybe what James taught us or how we would go about our daily business.
When you were in college up at Williams, not only a quarterback on the football field, but you also played baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Being a two-sport athlete at a place that's academically rigorous like Williams, does that help you relate to guys on the offense like a Jesper Horsted and a Charlie Volker, two-sport athletes at Princeton?
Yeah, definitely. This is a different ball of wax, though. Like, this is Division I football. The experience at Williams was demanding, but it did feel a lot like high school in the sense that I wasn't missing out on spring practice. There is no spring practice in the NESCAC. And so many of the guys that I played with, actually, I just talked to John about a second ago, we all did play two sports. So it was kind of natural. Maybe you come from two sports in high school, or I played three sports. I played ice hockey in the wintertime. My dad was a coach of a bunch of those, coached me. It was great. But then we get to Williams, and not too much is different. I am in awe of how these kids as student-athletes carry themselves with what's expected of them at Princeton, and then how demanding the teams and seasons are, even when they are there and when they're not there. You know, Jesper, it's not an easy thing to do, and he makes it look very graceful that, you know, we put a ton of work in the winter and the spring, and he kind of picks up with us in the fall and hits the ground running. But these it is a different animal a little bit. But I think if I have a chance, I'll tell John some of my rocking chair baseball stories at one point. So.
I know a bunch of folks on campus get together at noontime hockey at Baker. Do you ever go and lace them up, or have you retired?
I'm more of a noontime hoop kind of guy.
Okay.
I'm a more pick-up hoop kind of guy. I think if I grabbed my hockey stuff out of the closet right now, there'd probably be some bugs or something in there. Or I'd have to get my skate sharpened first. So,
Princeton did it under James Perry. They continue to do it under you. They'll do it long after everybody here is gone. Mm-hmm. Opening up the playbook, we saw Jesper Horsted rush for a touchdown this week. You have a play like that in the arsenal. How do you decide, okay, this is the week, this is the situation, we break that out?
Yeah. Yeah, the brainstorming or like the cultivation process is kind of like any artist would kind of come up with something. And luckily, I have a good band together. You know, we sit there and we stew over some good ideas, and then some of them actually don't make it to the game. They like lay in waiting in a notebook, or maybe even we carried them into the game, but we didn't run them, and now you get an extra, you get a second week of marination, is what we say all the time. So when you let that thing marinate a little bit, maybe it looks a little bit better, even though there are a few rough edges the first week that you run it. But like last week, we were able to get that one done, and makes you look good when you can get it executed.
What's it like in the film room? You plan this, you practice it, you finally go out there and pull it out pretty much to perfection. He went into the end zone untouched. Yeah. What's it like in the film room this week when you go back and you watch that?
Yeah, well, that one happened to play out a lot the way that we had practiced it. They played a ton of man-to-man against us through the entire field, but more specifically as we got closer to the goal line. And Cody Smith, I know everyone notices Jesper obviously running into the end zone, but Cody Smith literally very detailed in the way that he goes about his business. He's played a ton of football for us. He executed his assignment perfectly and kind of peeled off the guy that was covering Jesper in man-to-man when he ran back around for the reverse. So, yeah, we were kind of more satisfied with Cody's job than Jesper kind of waltzing into the end zone. So,
talking with Princeton offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach Sean Gleason, the Tigers taking on 7-0 Dartmouth, two undefeated Ivy League teams this weekend. Final question for you, Dartmouth. You look at their defense, this is a team that seems to do everything pretty well. What's the most impressive about the Big Green when you look at film?
Yeah, I mean, they're the Big Green this year because of the big guys up front. They had tremendous defensive line, two guys in mind, Jackson Perry and Rocco DeLeo. We've studied them at length. Double team, you know, single block, whatever it is, those guys are getting home in the run and pass game, and they attract a ton of attention. They've always had big guys up front, but I think these two guys are especially interesting because they wreak a ton of havoc in a little bit of a different non-Dartmouth way. We've typically seen these Dartmouth guys kind of push you back and get their hands up or, you know, create a lot of traffic in the backfield for the running back, but these guys are just decimating blocks. So, you know, we're going to have our hands full, and hopefully our guys are up for the challenge.
Coach, appreciate a few minutes. I'll let you get back to the table. Looks like some pretty cool toys.
Yeah, my two-year-old, he's probably Netflixed out at this point, but he's
see the toy truck?
yep. Maybe if Johnny was a little bit better player, maybe he'd actually cultivate some interest over there and play with him a little bit. But he seems like he's too much into the TV. So,
Coach, good luck Saturday. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks.
That's Princeton offensive coordinator Sean Gleason. Back after this with Tigers quarterback John Lovett. When we get back to the Alchemist and Barrister, this is the Bob Surrey Show on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
It's time to talk Princeton football. Live from the Alchemist and Barrister in beautiful Princeton, New Jersey, with the Bob Surrey Show. Here's Cody Cruchel and your Princeton Tigers football head coach, Bob Surrey, on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
The Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host the Bob Surrey Show every Thursday night. Join us each week for the latest on the Princeton football team and enjoy drink and food specials all night. Check out the menus at theanb.com. Nice night here. It's in the high 60s. The patio's open, so we get a nice breeze in here. Now we welcome in Tigers senior quarterback John Lovett. John, I know a big one this week. Appreciate you taking a couple minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's start with the question people want the answer to. The punt against Monmouth this year when you pinned the Hawks back at the one-yard line, where does that rank on your career accomplishments? Sideline was pretty fired up for that one.
Yeah, they were excited. Chad did a good job of that the year before, so I had to compete against him to, you know, gain that top spot. But it was fun to that down at the one. That put our defense in a good position and put us in a good position for the rest of the half.
Princeton football known probably primarily for quarterbacks who can punt.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that, but it's you know, when we're called upon, we have to execute that.
I know you're a senior. You're back after missing all of last year, and I know it's okay. Yeah. It's just another game, but Princeton Dartmouth 7-0, and you know, I know you'd rather be playing down the stretch for the outright title rather than a shared one. Got to get the win this week to do that. Does this one feel a little bit different?
Yeah, I mean, definitely playing a tremendous opponent in Dartmouth, but every chance we get to strap on our shoulder pads and our helmet is an opportunity that, you know, we don't take for granted. So every week we come out playing as fast and as we possibly can, as hard as we possibly can. This week, it's a big week with Dartmouth, and obviously has a lot of implications as to who gets the top spot in the Ivy League moving forward, but we're just as excited as any other week.
Last year, not quite able to get back there and step on the field in a game situation after the offseason injury. Going through that, being out there around the team but not able to compete, how did that affect you? What did you learn from that heading into your final season here?
It humbled me as far as making me more appreciative of the time that I do have to put on the shoulder pads. Missing that whole season with my senior class was very hard while I was in the moment, but it allowed me to take a step away and appreciate the game more and work my tail off to come back and be the best player I could be to help the team in the best way I could.
What's been the biggest challenge of coming back after missing an entire year? I guess what took the longest to come back? Like when you first got out there the first couple of weeks, was there a spot where maybe you weren't as comfortable as you are now?
I was just anxious to get back onto the field in a game setting. So camp, I was chomping at the bit. Every single day felt like an eternity. I was just counting down the days to play Butler. And then once I was able to get out there and actually get hit and play in a real game, it felt incredible. So that's kind of the biggest thing I was waiting on, is just to have those whistles blown and have it be a live game.
Talked a little bit about this earlier. When you were out there with Chad Knopf a couple of years ago, you took some snaps as a quarterback, but they would move you into the slot and put you in motion and do a little bit of everything. This year, really your first time in that quote-unquote traditional starting quarterback role since high school.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been playing quarterback my whole entire life up until college. I got asked to do multiple things, and whatever the coaches call on me to do, I'm going to do that 1,000%.
Going back to 2 years ago, the Bushnell Cup winner is Ivy League Offensive Player of the Year. That's a great day for Princeton. That's a great day for the Ivy League as a whole, getting together in a hotel in New York City. What do you remember about that day in New York?
Yeah, that was a tremendous experience. I felt honored to have been given the title of Player of the Year, but it's a team award. I was fortunate enough to be able to receive it on behalf of my team, but That doesn't come by one player. Our whole team had a great offense that year, and it was a special day.
I asked your offensive coordinator about this, and I'll ask you. We've been really impressed when we've been watching and broadcasting these games with your ability to, when you miss with a pass, it's almost always in a spot where it's either going to be Jesper, Steven, Tiger, or it's going to be an incomplete pass. How do you develop that skill? How do you sort of perfect that skill where, even if you know, okay, they may not catch this, it's going to be Princeton or nothing?
Yeah, I think first off, Coach Gleason does an incredible job with the play calls. He always puts us in good position, so I just have to execute my part. Obviously, I'm never throwing the ball to have it be incomplete, but I think that our receivers do a phenomenal job of high pointing the football, and we stress winning the turnover margin. So if something doesn't look clean, I really try to use my legs to extend the play rather than to try to fit it and with a chance of throwing an interception.
Jesper Horsted, 6'4", big body, fast, can leap. Steven Carlson, 6'4", big body, great hands. Has to make your job pretty easy having 6'4 on one side, 6'4 on the other side.
Yeah, both those guys do a tremendous job. They show up to practice every day and give the same effort that they do on game day. And, we all respond to them. It's fun having those guys, and it's fun having, playing with our whole entire offense. We're all meshing really well.
Sort of a broad level fan base question. Seems like a really fun offense to play, and it's not okay. You're dropping back, you're surveying and throwing. It's some trick plays and guys in motion and a lot of read options from your standpoint. It seems like it's a lot of fun playing quarterback in this offense.
Yeah, absolutely, quarterback. It's been a lot of fun. Coach Gleason, like I said earlier, does a tremendous job of putting us in a position to be successful, and he really brings out the best in us throughout the practice week and then leading up to the game, as far as just getting the most out of his players, and we respond really well to him. So he's done a great job of putting us in the position to be successful.
Game like this past Saturday, 45-0 at the half. We like to look down at you and see the interaction with you and your head coach when it's sort of getting a little bit out of hand. How the heck do you make a compelling argument to keep yourself in the game when it's 45-0?
It doesn't seem...
What was the argument you made? Very persuasive.
hasn't been too persuasive because I like to try to keep stealing series as much as I can just because I just want to keep playing. But I understand, you know, when it's time for me in games we've been fortunate enough to be up by so many points to come out, I'm just as excited to see other guys step in and go in there and perform the way, you know, I've seen and we've seen in practice of other guys as well.
Here at the Alchemist and Barrister with Tigers senior quarterback John Lovett. We'll continue this conversation when we get back. This is the Bob Surratt Show on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
You're listening to the Bob Surratt Show, live from the Alchemist and Barrister with Princeton football head coach Bob Surratt and Cody Cruchel on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Back here at the Alchemist and Barrister, the Week 8 edition of the Bob Surratt Show. 7-0 Princeton getting set to square off at home this Saturday at 1 o'clock against 7-0 Dartmouth. Joined for our second straight segment by Tigers quarterback John Lovett. Talk a little bit about the on-field component. Let's talk a little bit about you off the field from Long Island, out of Dematha Catholic, though, in Maryland. What was it like going to high school that far from home? Obviously a great program down at Dematha. I feel like every team that comes in we've seen has had somebody on their team from that high school program.
Yeah, Dematha is a special, holds a special place in my heart. I feel really incredibly fortunate with the opportunity to go down there and play football for them, and it's a family down there. You know, we say one Dematha. So the guys that the guys on my team now always laugh at me because I'm still always wearing my Dematha gear and always talking about my high school experience. But it's if they went there, they'd understand it's a special place.
I know it was 5 or 6 years ago, but walk us through your journey. How did you end up at Princeton? What made this the right place?
Yeah. From the start of the recruiting process, Coach Charace did a tremendous job, you know, reaching out to me, and I came to camp here, and I had a great experience both on the field and then off the field. Once I took my official visit here, just the group of guys that, you know, Coach Charace recruits, I really felt like, you know, I felt at home here. Obviously, the academic component of Princeton is very intriguing, and it's something that you know, definitely persuaded me to look into, just as well as all the other Ivy League schools. It's a special feature of these schools to have such strong academics. But then once I decided on going to an Ivy League school, just Princeton's offense and just really the family atmosphere I felt here was really the two biggest reasons that I decided to come to Princeton.
Earlier tonight, we talked to your offensive coordinator, Sean Gleason. What was that transition like, going from a James Perry-led offense to a Sean Gleason-led offense? I imagine pretty smooth because Sean had been in the program for 4 years.
Absolutely. It definitely was a smooth transition just by, I think, that both Coach Perry and Coach Gleason have a great ability to bring the best, get the most out of their players, right? So as far as the actual offense was concerned, not too much has changed. Coach Gleason's done a tremendous job of, you know, like I said earlier in the show, putting us in a good position to be successful. But yeah, I've really enjoyed my experience here, and both those guys have made a big impact on my life, not just football.
When you look at John Lovett, the player, it's easy to look at 2 years ago when you weren't necessarily playing the quarterback position. They were using you as sort of this movable part and doing a lot of different things. And then you look at the quarterback numbers this year, 14 touchdowns, one interception, high completion percentage, and looking forward to the next level, because I know your goal once you're done with Princeton is to continue playing football at the next level. What have coaches, what have scouts, what kind of conversations have you had about your fit at the next level?
Yeah, from a lot of the teams that have come to our practices and have been, you know, scouting us, as you know, there's a few guys on our team that hopefully will have an opportunity to continue to play. In talking with Coach Charace, he sort of gives me an inkling on, you know, what they're expecting. And from a lot of different teams, it's, you know, a lot of different things that I can be versatile, and, you know, they can see me at one position or the other. So right now, honestly, I'm focused on these last three games right now, obviously 2 days away from Dartmouth. But looking ahead after the season, I think I'll really dig in and figure out, you know, what's going to be the best opportunity for me to continue to play.
Princeton, the number one offense in the country. Dartmouth, the fourth-ranked defense in the country. This is a team that Challenging from a number of standpoints. Looking at game film, what's the main challenge that Dartmouth throws at you? Every team's a little bit different.
Yeah.
This is a team that seems to do everything pretty well on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, they have a tremendous defense. It's going to be a great opportunity, a great challenge for us. We're looking forward to it. I think specifically their defensive line obviously does a phenomenal job of getting home after the quarterback. It allows them to put their defense into a good position, both creating third down and long situations, and also just from being able to rush only three or four guys and be able to get home to the quarterback really allows their second level and third level defensive fronts to be able to drop seven or eight into coverage, which obviously makes it a favorable matchup for the defense.
And on the other hand, your offensive line's done a pretty good job keeping you upright this year.
Oh, absolutely. Those guys are awesome. Not a better group I'd rather go out and you know, go to battle with. So we're looking forward to the opportunity. We've been practicing hard all week, and, already here on a Thursday night, we're starting to get some jitters ready to get going and fire around on the field.
We're looking forward to it, too. John, good luck Saturday. Good catching up with you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
It's Princeton senior quarterback John Lovett back after this to wrap it up with Tigers head coach Bob Cerace here on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
It's time to talk Princeton football. Live from the Alchemist and Barrister in beautiful Princeton, New Jersey, with the Bob Cerace Show. Here's Cody Cruchel and your Princeton Tigers football head coach, Bob Cerace, on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Back here at the A&B Witherspoon Street in Princeton to wrap up the Week 8 edition of the Bob Cerace Show. Cody Cruchel with Tigers head coach Bob Cerace. 7-0 Princeton, 7-0 Dartmouth. I don't have to remind you of that. Let's talk about your opponent this weekend. You look at what makes up a good team. Defensively, dominant pass rusher, linebacker that can go side to side, shutdown defensive back, offensively a quarterback that doesn't turn the football over, varied running game, five seniors on the offensive line. Check, check, check. Tough opponent for you guys on Saturday.
Yeah, there's a reason they're 7-0. They are so well coached. They have talent. They're physical. Every single area. I said it to Jay Greenberg earlier in the week. You know, Coach Stevens' buddy could nominate all 22 starters, 23 counting Drabino, for all Ivy, and nobody's going to snicker. They are that good position to position to position, and, you know, they're just playing at a very high level. They're dominating their opponents. It's a very intricate scheme offensively, defensively. They just pound you. I mean, they are a strong, strong, strong team. And then on the back end, they make plays on the ball. They're extremely athletic.
Kind of impressive to me about Dartmouth, and we saw this last year, the final day of the regular season, when they saw, okay, the defense for Princeton a little bit thin. We're going to keep it on the ground 60 times. Saw it last week up at Harvard or against Harvard, some tough weather. Their quarterback struggling a little bit early. Bring in Jared Gerbino, keep it on the ground, force some turnovers. A team that, yes, they do what they do, but a team that's been able to adjust to what the games dictate.
Yeah, they have the ability to beat teams multiple ways. And, you know, their quarterback's completing nearly three-quarters of his passes. They have talent at the wide receiver positions. They can beat you deep. They can beat you underneath. They can beat you with a screen game and speed sweeps with those guys. Their running backs are big play threats, but they get 4, 5, 6 yards and drive their legs and are impressive. Certainly the offensive line is as good as any. Kind of reminds me of a couple of those Harvard offensive lines where all five guys made all Ivy in previous years. And Gerbino's a weapon. You know, he is, you know, 235, 240 pounds. And the thing he's doing now, he's showing short area quickness and vision, where he's not just running straight ahead using his physical skills. He's showing talent along with increased physical skills, and it's why he is one of the premier players offensively in the league.
And with Gerbino, Buddy Tevens has said a bunch of times, don't call him a wildcat quarterback. He's 6-for-10 with 2 touchdowns through the air. They don't have him throw the ball that often, but it's something you have to keep an eye on.
Yeah, they're extremely efficient in what they do, and you know, you credit the way they devise their plays and their scheme, how their players execute, and then the talent they have is unreal. And I said it, this is the best team that from top to bottom that we played in my 9 years in terms of that.
Defensively, test for your offensive line. We touched on it in the first segment. Rocco DeLeo off the left side, Jackson Perry off the right side. 300-pound seniors, and a guy like DeLeo leading the Ivy League in sacks. They're a team that gets pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, and now I know how teams felt when we had Catapano and Reed. Both were NFL players. I mean, that's as good a compliment as I can give. And it's not just those two guys. They are, you know, deep there. The other starters are incredibly good players, physical players, and talented players. But those two guys remind you of Catapano and Reed with their motors, their size, their strength, and their ability to have twitch, you know, the short area quickness, which is unusual for a guy that big unless you're in the NFL.
Midterms last week and you have a break here. How do you keep your guys focused, and how does the break sort of change what you've been able to do from a scheduling standpoint this week?
Well, you hope it freshens our guys up. You know, they're not studying till 2 in the morning and then having to go through the full day where we're able to get them more rest, you know, to keep them focused. The field, you know, counting the end zones is 120, and the width is, you know, 53-plus. We can't worry. We have a great marketing department. They're going to put on awesome stuff on the big screen. We can't be worried about that and the crowd and all those things. Our guys have worked hard to prepare. That's all we can do. At the end of the day, you prepare as hard as you can. You put everything on the table, and hopefully it's good enough against a team that's talented.
With a team like Dartmouth and a game of this magnitude, what are you looking for out of your guys? I mean, I know it's to play Princeton football, but matching up against Dartmouth, what are you looking for? What are you prepping your guys for?
Yeah, we talked about it. Be us. Like, we're not going to turn into, you know, the L.A. Rams overnight. Like, that's not us. We're not, you know, 28-year-old men. We're not going to suddenly change into that. You know, so be, you know, I love our guys. I love how our guys work. I love how they prepare. And if we continue to attack the day that way, that's the best we can do. And that's all I ever ask of our guys. Do the best we can, you know, with what we have, our coaches, myself, the players, and that's what we're doing. And, you know, when you go up against a team that is this good, you know, all we can do is be the best team we can be and let it all, you know, hang out and let it all, the chips fall where they may.
Coach, looking forward to it. Good luck Saturday.
Awesome, Cody. Thank you.
It's Princeton head coach Bob Surace. The Tigers taking on 7-0 Dartmouth this Saturday at 1 o'clock. Both teams ranked in the top 20. Both teams undefeated overall. And in the Ivy League, GoPrincetonTigers.com for ticket information. A big week all around Princeton's campus. I think we have six or seven different teams at home Saturday and a handful of them playing for Ivy League titles. So it's Princeton and Dartmouth on the gridiron Saturday at 1 o'clock. Thanks to our guest tonight, as always, Tigers head coach Bob Surace, along with the quarterback of the Princeton Tigers, John Lovett, and Sean Gleason, the offensive coordinator. And then thank you, as always, to the man back in the studio, David Fenster, our producer and engineer. This has been the Bob Surace Show. We'll talk to you next Thursday here at the Alchemist and Barrister on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.